spend some more time in relative to this message of convicting the world of sin. We're not going to be able to... Well, let me say it this way. We've got a job to do. Can't be done without the Holy Ghost. But He's doing His work. If we'll let Him do His work in us, He'll do His work through us. Amen. And that's what we want. God has to do a work in you before He can do a work through you. That's just the way that it is. When God brought them out of Egypt, He did a work in them. But when He brought them into Canaan, He wanted to do a work through them. And that's what we have to realize. If I'll let God do it in me, change me, then I can become a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the Master's use. And I can become an instrument in the hands of the Lord. And there is no more skilled surgeon, whatever, than Jesus Christ, than God our Father. There's no more person or being that's skilled than He is. And He can take the simplest of vessels that are devoted to Him, and He can do mighty things. Whew. He turned the world upside down with 12 ordinary men. He did. And the course of history was forever changed because 12 ordinary men simply gave their lives and gave them to the hands of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. There's more than that in this church. If we'll let God do a work in us, He will do a work through us. I feel that, and I feel the Holy Ghost right here this afternoon. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Don't you be discouraged. God knows the true from the false. God knows where we're at. He knows the heart and core of this church too. And I tell you what, I know where I'm going. You know where you're going this afternoon? I'm on my way to glory. Hallelujah. I want to read here in John chapter 15. I'm going to read this passage, and then we're going to share with you hopefully some things here about it this afternoon. He said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." Now in the Greek, the word clean and the word purge have the same root word. So the purging is done by the word of God. "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another." Just say amen to God's word. You may be seated this afternoon. I know as I've shared these messages, I have sometimes went back and reviewed a few things. And well, because every time I preach, I'm reviewing. And I spend time going over and over and things come into my heart. But I want to continue with this message on convincing the world of sin. I'm not going to try to go through all of that. I just want to say that to make the connection here, that the Spirit comes to convict the world of sin because they believe not on Christ. Which means that if you and I are going to participate and cooperate with the Spirit of God in that work of conviction, we've got to believe on Christ. That's a no-brainer. We've got to believe on Christ. But that's why we're here. Because we have believed on Jesus Christ. And I shared with you that how that played out in the Gospel of John. John has three areas, or three illustrations he uses to put things in a sort of a natural, from a, using natural things that we use on a daily basis to illustrate our belief in Christ and how that carries out. Sometimes you can just talk about faith and believing in faith and believing and all that stuff. You say it so much it just becomes meaningless to you, doesn't have any effect and doesn't really mean anything. But John gave us three ways it plays out. Number one, we eat the flesh and drink the blood of Jesus Christ. And that means that there is a contentment and a confidence that you and I possess in Christ that enables us to convict that world. Secondly, He is our good shepherd. And we're the sheep. And then in that, it brings this sense of conviction and care that you and I, we are convicted that He is Jesus Christ. You cannot go out and convince the world that Jesus saves if you're in doubt about who Jesus is. Now, I'm going to tell you, you've got to know you've heard the voice of God. You've got to know when you got saved, Jesus saved you. Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice. They know my voice." A Christian, a true Christian, does not doubt who Jesus is. He has no qualms about the person of Christ. And he's absolutely certain he's saved by the grace of God. And then there's that business of His providential care, that we have that. And we must trust the Lord in our care. We cannot convict the world of sin if we're dependent on the world for support. Amen. How are we going to convince them that they're wrong when we're leaning on them for their support and their strength? We don't need the strength of that world. No, sir. All we need is the providential hand of our God to take care of us because we have a good shepherd we follow. The third illustration John gave was that of the vine and the branch. And there were two primary thoughts that came out of this. One was this business of conformity to the character of Jesus Christ. The branch reveals the nature of the vine. And then that idea of communion comes out in this passage. I shared quite a bit Wednesday night about our the vine and the branch and how the fruit and how that plays out. But I want to go back and emphasize an aspect of it here this afternoon. And then I want to deal with that second point about communion. I know it's familiar territory, but that's all right. All the Bible should be familiar to you. Amen. Genesis to Revelation, there's nothing new we can get up here and preach in that regard, but it can become fresh to our hearts and to our minds. I've had scriptures I've read nearly hundreds of times, but the 101st time God showed me something and this was fresh and just burned into my heart anew. It may have been something I knew even years ago, but it just came home to me because that word is alive. Amen. I've eaten a lot of, not I say a lot, but I've eaten several steaks. I've eaten several shrimp, but I still like steak and shrimp. You know, I'm telling you, it's one of my favorite meals. I've eaten a pile of potatoes in my life, but I ain't interested in giving up my potatoes just because I've eaten a bunch of them. I like them again and again and again. Amen. And though sometimes I may tread certain areas of the Scripture frequently, they're just all the sweeter. Glory to God. And I want to take and try by the help and grace of God. There's a thought that I want to try to bring home to you here in this business because I think this is a critical passage. We believe on Christ and we've got to understand that we are here to reveal to that world who Jesus is. Who Jesus is. Now the world doesn't know Jesus. The world doesn't recognize Jesus. And nobody's going to come up to you and say, "Oh, I see Jesus in you." There might be some who have been acquainted with Him and understand things about Him. Some backslider or somebody that knew things about the Lord and maybe had an experience with Christ at some point. They may see a good deed. They may see a proper attitude. And they may see a biblical spirit or a Christ-like spirit in you. And they may say, that you're a Christian. I recognize that you're a Christian. But the bulk of that world out there, they don't even know what Christianity truly is. They've never heard of Jesus. There are people in America that have never heard the name of Jesus Christ. They don't know anything about Him. So they're not going to come up when you do your good deed and say, I must think you're a Christian or I see Jesus in you, because they don't know who Jesus is. But what they must see is a distinction. I'm going to tell you that Jesus was different than any prophet before Him. He was different than the scribes and the Pharisees. He stood out among the crowd. And it wasn't because He dressed different. He dressed like a rabbi, and that was not what made Him stand out. What made Him stand out is He spoke as one that had authority and not as the scribes and Pharisees. What made Him stand out is He lived His life in the power of the Spirit. And Jesus Christ, when you got in His presence, you felt you were in the presence of God. I'm telling you, you were never nearer God than when you were in the presence of Jesus Christ. You could feel that, and His words would grip you. And when He said something, it wasn't just, He wasn't just mincing words. He wasn't just trying to impress you. He wasn't trying to just show you and display His intelligence. He was speaking things that were real to life, and they met home. Sometimes He would make the simplest statements, but they would have such a profound impact upon the life of the listener, because His word was living. It was quick. It was alive. It was full of Spirit, and it was true. And every word that He spoke was just wrapped and enshrouded, and it was a shrine of truth that just came home to penetrate the hearts and the listeners of those around Him. And so when we understand that about Jesus Christ, His distinction, you and I are here not to simply to do something different. We're here to continue that same lifestyle. We're here to live as Jesus is. The Bible says that as He is, not as He was, as He is, so are we in this world. We are here today in this world to reveal Jesus to a lost and dying world that doesn't know Him. Our job is to show Jesus, to preach Jesus, to live Jesus, to talk Jesus, to preach Him and love Him and reveal Him to this world by the power of the Holy Spirit. But that requires something. It requires a reality in your life. Jesus has got to be in you. Jesus has got to be in you. I'm afraid we've got a lot of folks trying to be Christians. We got a lot of folks trying to live the Christian life, but they've never known Jesus Christ. And there's a phrase in this passage that becomes very clear that Jesus stated twice. As a matter of fact, He stated it in verse 4 and He stated it in verse 5. And He made it clear. He said in verse 4 that the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, and neither can you except you abide in Me. And then in verse 5 He says, without Me you can do nothing. We must understand that morality cannot be sustained apart from Jesus Christ. You must understand that God does not accept one good deed from any man unless that good deed is done as a result of Christ living in that man. Unless Jesus Christ is the leader of the Lord of that life, unless He is the motivator of that good deed, and He's the Spirit that drives it, He's the power of it, He's the one that's done for it, He's the one that's glorified by it. He accepts one testimony, and it's the testimony of His Son, Jesus Christ. Everybody is destined to be, everybody that believes is destined to be conformed to that image. You have no other goal in your life but to glorify God. And that is done by bearing fruit of Jesus Christ. God accepts no other character except that which was displayed in His Son. He accepts no other form of conduct except what was displayed in His Son. He accepts no good deeds. I don't care how many people are benefited from them. I don't care how many people are blessed by them. If they do not come through His Son, Jesus Christ, they are of no value in the kingdom of God. They are selfish. They're there to build up false kingdoms. They're there to build up a false ethic and a false morality, and it cannot be sustained. I'm telling you something. Good deeds require more than simply duty and responsibility. They require a heart and a life, a spirit that's abiding within you. you. I cannot just do good out of my own hand and become selfishness. But it must be something in me that has changed me, that drives me, that motivates me, and that I do this because it's who I am in Jesus Christ. Now I want to try. With God's help, I want to drive that home a little bit and talk to you for a little bit this afternoon. This business of bearing fruit. He said, I want fruit. I want more fruit. I want much fruit. That's what he said. He said, every branch that bears fruit, he purges it. He wants more fruit. And then he said, the Father's glorified when you bear much fruit. That's what he wants. An increasing harvest from our life. And this fruit bearing is going to come as a result of two things. Number one, pruning and abiding. Pruning and abiding. Now the branch is the weakest part of the vine. Weakest part of the vine is the branch. You are the weakest link. You'd as well put it down. That's what we are. We're the weakest part of that vine. And the vine cannot bear fruit unless it is pruned, unless it's purged. Matter of fact, you've got to be very aggressive in your pruning and your grapevines. They're distinct. They're not like apple trees. They're not like fruit-bearing trees. They're very distinct. A vine has to be pruned and pruned aggressively if it's going to bear the sweetest, most luscious fruit that's possible for it to bear. And so I want to try to talk a little bit about that business of abiding. The pruning, I shared some things with you about that, but that of course is where the Lord, by His Word and by the activity of His Spirit in our life, He prunes us back. He concentrates the flow of His life and into us, into areas in our being. As we reach out and we grow, then that vine will grow. It'll spread limbs and branches and vines in every direction. But the vine dresser must come along, and he must cut back last year's growth. He's not cutting off dead shoots. He's cutting off live limbs. It doesn't feel so good sometimes. It cuts, and the vine will bleed a little while. It will actually bleed. When the vine dresser cuts the vine, there'll be some juice that will flow, and it will bleed until that end of where it's been cut off will dry up and dry back about so far, an inch or so back. It'll dry back, but nevertheless, when God cuts you, you'll bleed a little bit. You'll hurt. God will shut down an aspect here. He'll show you a weakness that's here. But He'll take you and prune you by His Word in order to concentrate into your life His energy so that you can bring forth a sweeter and greater harvest for His name and for His glory. But this business of abiding, I want to talk about that because that's where you and I have got to stay. And this becomes the secret of you and I. And how may the Lord have mercy on me and help me here this afternoon to share this as it is in my heart and the thoughts to get it across. I want to take, if you'll take your Bibles, you may not keep up with me. If you don't, I can give them to you later. But I want to share some things from 1 John. John, that wrote this gospel, shared some things in his epistle and used this word abiding quite frequently. It was a favorite term of John, and he used it frequently here in his gospel. In this passage he uses it, other places in the gospel use it, and then frequently in his first epistle that he wrote. He made this statement in 1 John 4 and 13, "Hereby know we that we dwell in Him." Now you see the word dwell, it's the same word as abide in John 15. This word abide is going to be translated abide, dwell, remain, continue. Those words that you find in this passage and in 1 John are the very same Greek word. We have four different English words to give us some sense of significance, and I'm glad for that, of this, the richness of this Greek word. And therefore, so it's the idea of abiding, which is dwelling, and it's the idea of continuing. It's the idea of remaining. So those are all thoughts, but this is the same word. "Hereby know we that we dwell," or "we abide," or "we continue in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit." Notice, hereby know we that we dwell in Him. Dwelling in Jesus is not guesswork. Being a Christian is not a doubtful disputations. Being a saint of God is as secure and sure and firm as anything can ever be. If you're in doubt about your Christianity, you may not be one. I'm here to tell you that. Because He said, hereby we know. There's got to to be something that takes place. I can't see Jesus. I cannot touch Him physically in that regard. But there's got to be something. Whenever that message is preached, and I lay hold of the truth of it, and I put my trust and my confidence in the reality of Jesus whom I cannot see, something has got to make that real in my life, so that it's not just something I imagined. It's not just something I dreamed up. It's not just an emotion that I felt. It's not just a decision that I made. I didn't just decide to turn over a new leaf. I made a decision. But something happened when I made that decision. When I placed my faith in Jesus, a real event took place in my being. The Spirit of God came to live and abide and dwell in my being. And I'm telling you, when God's in the house, you know it.
That's right. Amen.
And so, there's this business that the Spirit of God, help me, Lord. I've said it before myself, that this Christian life and Christian growth is not automatic. The Christian growth is not something that's just a given. And there's truth to that. And I've expressed that. I've shared that. I'm telling you, you've got a responsibility. But at the same time, I want to give you the flip side of that. And I want to balance that and preach to the other side. There are some things that are automatic.
Right.
But they require abiding.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you that if you abide in Jesus, something's going to happen without you doing anything else on your part. Something's going to change in your life. Oh, glory to God. I'm telling you right now, this thing is not all about my effort and my work. It requires my decisiveness. It requires my obedience. It requires my submission. But when submission is had, when obedience takes place, let it be known as the sovereign hand of God that is actively at work, and He will do things in that life that will turn it around, that will change it, that will make it a different creature, that will make you be like Jesus is. We will be transformed into the image of Christ from glory to glory. I don't do the transformation. He does it. It's automatic. All I do is abide in the vine, and the sap flows through, and the very automatic process is the production of fruit in my life. Because we have to keep a balance. There's some that think that the Christian life is all their effort. And I hear folks, well, I'm trying to live the best I can. Then you are destined to fail. Well, I'm trying to live a Christian life. Well, I'm trying to pray more. Well, I'm trying to read more. Well, I'm trying to be better. I'm trying to quit my cussing. I'm trying to stop my drinking. I'm trying to shut down my cigarette smoking. I'm tapered off my pornography. I'm here to tell you something. You need something that's more and greater than the power of your will. You've got to get attached to the vine. You've got to be able to have the life of God flow in you. And it will. You hear me something. If you're in that vine and you allow that sap to flow, it'll make a change in your life. It'll bring forth fruit unto God. You'll bear fruit. You'll bear more fruit. And you'll bear much fruit for the glory and the cause of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. God, help me to express it this afternoon. Just some evidence. I want to try to get it to you to preach the other side of this thing. Don't tell me you're in Jesus and nothing's happening in your life. Don't tell me you're abiding in the vine and there's no increasing harvest of fruit. If you're not getting sweeter, something's wrong somewhere. If your prayer life isn't getting richer, The sap ain't flowing like it needs to flow. Come on. I'm talking about just abiding. Abiding's not complicated. Abiding is not difficult. It's the idea of just resting. It's the idea of allowing. It's the idea of submitting. It's the idea of just simply doing what Jesus asked you to do. And when you have that simple faith and obedience and rest and confidence, I'm here to tell you, God does things that'll confound the wise of this world. He'll take simple things and confound the mighty that are in this world. Oh, whenever we just let God be God and we just say, I'm here, Lord. You do with me what you want to do. Tell me and I'll obey you. Send me and I'll go. Speak to me and I'll submit to what you give. And I'm telling you, your character will change. Your nature will change. You will be transformed. There is something automatic, and it's the flow of life in your heart and in your spirit.
Amen.
And so when I see people that that's not present, I'm telling you, Christianity has some distinctives. And just because you call yourself Christian don't mean you are one. And it's not just these. If Christianity is nothing more than feeding the poor, then Hindus are Christians.
Come on.
The Catholics are Christians.
Yeah.
Come on.
All right.
If Christianity is... Today, our concept of Christianity is being nice. Quite frankly, we think if someone's not nice, they're not Christian.
Come on.
And nice to us means agreeable in every circumstance. So that in other words, if I disagree with you, and I disagree with your lifestyle, or I disagree with who you are, I'm not nice, and therefore I'm not Christian. Because in order for you to meet my standard of Christianity, you've got to be nice, and particularly you've got to be nice to me. And by being nice, I mean you basically just got to acquiesce to everything I want. You've got to surrender to all my selfish purposes and lust and whatever I think. In other words, it don't matter if I tolerate you. You've got to tolerate me. And that's just the way. That becomes our concept of Christianity. And I want you to know something. We are to be a people that are kind. We're not to be rude. We're not to be ugly. I agree with all of that. That's an aspect of love. But if that's all there is, then I want you to know. And there's a lot of folks in this world that meet the standard of Christianity. But there's more to this thing than just an outward deed of goodness and just some expression of kindness. There's a spirit. There's a spirit. There's a life force. There's a power that ignites, that brings this thing to life. And I'm here to tell you, it's the power of the Holy Ghost. It's the power of Jesus Christ living and dwelling with us. Christians have a spirit. Christians have a nature. They have someone that indwells them. And He's the same, whether He's in Brother John, whether He's in me, He's the same Holy Ghost. And He'll witness to the same spirit, and He'll witness to the same attitude. I don't care how good you look and what you may do to defend yourself. If your spirit's warped and twisted, you ain't right. There's something wrong. Because in this vine, there ain't but one life force.
Right.
There ain't but one life force. There ain't but one nature.
Right.
And it's holiness. Glory to God.
Right.
And it's a love.
Yeah.
Holiness is the standard. Love is the spirit.
Right.
And if that's absent, you can have the deeds. You can have a sense of morality. You can have all those outward expressions of niceness and kindness. But if it's not driven by the spirit of holiness and the spirit of love that is God Almighty, you are a spurious branch.
Yes.
I don't know if I'm making sense, but I'll say it 500 different ways if I can to get it home to you. We're living in a day. That's why the Bible said, by the fruits, you'll know them. Because the life force inside is what determines that fruit. Amen. Not by their works, not by their deeds, by their fruits. There'll be a spirit. I know what I'm talking about. I may not be getting it across. But there's a spirit to this thing. I expect humility. It's a humble spirit. It's a spirit of love. But it's a truthful spirit. It's a spirit that hungers for righteousness and truth. We may at times have disagreements due to limitations of knowledge, limits on our understanding. But the same spirit of the Holy Ghost ought to motivate us so that we can come together and say, but we're of one bond. You've been bought with the blood. I'm bought by the blood. The Holy Ghost in me wants truth, and the Holy Ghost in you wants truth. And the love of God in me produces patience, and the love of God in you produces patience. We can work to correct the knowledge. We can work to correct the ignorance. But there's a spirit that must drive it. There's a Holy Ghost that must be behind it. There must be the same power that motivates it. And that comes from God Almighty. And I'm telling you, that spirit ain't there. There ain't enough armies in the world that keep you together and keep you on the same page. We've got to know the Spirit of God dwells in us and has made us one in Christ Jesus. And I can meet people in another country I've never met before. And I can have an instant bond with that person. Though we may be on different levels of knowledge, I can have an instant bond because the Spirit is the same. Spirit. It's the same vine. It's the same life-giving force. And same drive. It's the same motivation. It's all glory for the Father. Hallelujah. Herein is my Father glorified. And shall bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. And when those motives are put down. When we come to the place. And everything else is secondary. And God is primary. And the glory of God is number one. I'm here to tell you. There ain't nothing can stop us. There ain't no problem we can't overcome. There ain't no obstacle we can't work through. Why? Because God is flowing in us together to accomplish the same purpose and achieve the same end. Hallelujah. Now, some things are going to happen. Some evidences. Let's just look at them. They're familiar, but let's look at them. 1 John chapter 1. I'm sorry, chapter 4 and verse 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. It's the same thing John said in chapter 15 of his gospel. You abide in me and I abide in you. This word dwell is the same word as abide in the Greek. So whoever God abides in him and he abides in God. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God. 1 John 2 and 23. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. And that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain. Same word, abide, remain, same Greek word. Shall remain in you, you also shall continue. Same Greek word, continue. In the Son and in the Father. So you will get this abiding. He talks about it. If you deny the Son, he said, then you don't have the Father. You can't split the Godhead. Hello?
All right, come on.
People talk today about Jews. And as if somehow God has given them a special plan of redemption. I'm going to tell you something. May bust some bubbles here. I don't care if you're the richest Jew in Israel. I don't care if you are given money to support the rebuilding of the temple. And they're doing a lot of that. They've made dry runs. I'm telling you, a lot's happening over there. There's a lot of things that's happening. You can go to templesomething.org. I went to it a while back. And I'm telling you, there's a lot that's going on. They've got things already made. They've got instruments. Everything made for this temple. I mean, they're ready. They're on go. They've made a dry run. They've done things. And they've got all together. I'm going to tell you right now. You can do all of that. You can prepare all of that. But I'm here to tell you right here and right now. If you don't accept Jesus Christ as Messiah and you breathe your last breath on this earth, you're going to wake your eyes up in hell and you're going to be lost forever, because you don't have Jehovah God the Father unless you have Jehovah God the Son, and unless you believe that Jesus Christ as the Son of God and the eternal Son co-equal with the Father. I'm here to tell you right now, there is a belief, there's a basis that draws us together. We've got to believe that Jesus is God the Father, and anybody that wants to come to me and confess something different and something contrary to the name of Jesus and of the distinction, I'm going to tell you right now that I can boldly declare he is not saved.
God doesn't come to you and reveal Himself. And let me put it to you this way. The Son by the Spirit is not revealed in you as creature and in me as creator.
Come on.
Let me make it so this way. You can't say that you know Jesus Christ and you believe in Jesus Christ and you believe that He is creation. He was created. And He wasn't there in the beginning. And then I say, well, I know Jesus Christ. And He was in the beginning. And He was not made or created. He is eternal and has always been.
Right.
Now, we got a problem here. Either you know a different Jesus than I know. Or somebody's just telling a fat old fib. That's just the way it is. Someone's telling a big old fat lie. Or we're talking about two different people here. Because we can't talk about the same person and have a contradicting mindset. He can't be creature and creator at the same time. He can't be less than God and equal with God at the same time. He can't be Christ and Antichrist at the same time. It just doesn't work that way. Now I'm telling you, the basics is this. He is God. He is co-equal with the Father. He is eternal. He's been there from the beginning. And apart from that, if I can't believe it of Jesus, God will have nothing to do with me, period. Now you can call that tight. You can call it what it is. But it's right. It's truth. And it's the Bible. 1 John 2:6. I know. First thing we want to do is we want to start thinking, well, what about so-and-so? What about so-and-so? Don't worry about so-and-so. We're about where you're at. We're about what you believe. I don't know, but I tell you, heaven ain't going to be as populated as some folks think it is. There's going to be a lot out there in that crowd that ain't going to make it. That don't mean, and just because you're small don't mean you're right either. It's because your church is little don't mean you're preaching the truth either. And all the size of the congregation has nothing to do with it. It's the Spirit. It's the treasure. It's the truth. That's what's got to do with it. I'm telling you, there's some things that are non-negotiable. They're basic things. They've got to be there. And they are the same no matter where you find them. 1 John 2:6, He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked.
Yeah.
And we know, understand, when the Bible uses the word walk, He's not so much referring to you taking a stroll down memory lane or just down the afternoon in the afternoon sun. He's talking about a way of life.
Yeah.
Talking about your conversations, how you order your life. Jesus ordered His life by the Spirit. He always did what the Father wanted Him to do. The works He did by the Spirit. That's how our life is to be ordered. Our life is to be led by the Spirit. We're to be always obedient sons and obedient daughters. We do exactly what God tells us to do. We don't negotiate with Him. We don't look back at Him and say, I don't think I can do that now. Could you find a more convenient time? No, sir. If He says do it now, we do it now. If He says do it later, we do it later. If He says this is what you got to do, that's what we do. It doesn't matter if it hurts you. It doesn't matter if it kills us. We just know that we'll resurrect and be with Him in the by and by. We do what God says no matter what. And we do it in the power and the energy of the Holy Spirit.
Oh, yeah. Thank God. Amen.
Now, let's take that another step. 1 John 3:6. Principle we talked about, but I'm going to try to bring it home again. 1 John 3:6. Whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. Are you focusing on this word abiding? I'm talking about abiding here, all right?
Yeah.
I'm talking about staying in that vine. I'm talking about being attached to Jesus.
Yeah.
Whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen Him, neither known Him. Down later in verse 9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth or abideth in Him. And he cannot sin because he's born of God. I don't know if they're the most controversial scriptures in the Bible or not. But I'm going to tell you something. We either ignore them or we butcher them, one or the other.
That's right, brother.
But whether you like it or whether we like it or not, those are verifiable, undeniable, inspired words of God.
Right, sir.
So it's not an option of take it or leave it. The option is understand it, obey it, and believe it. So I'm not at an option here this afternoon to say that was for another time period. This is not something that's for a cultural setting. It's a whosoever. That's 2013, that's AD 13, that's whatever time period you want to live in, 1053, I really don't care. Whosoever abideth in Him. Now we're talking about abiding. How about staying in that vine? That's what I'm talking about. Sinneth not.
Right.
And whoever sinneth has not seen Him neither known Him. Now, let's just get something here. Let's try to do something with this. Help us, Lord. We got a couple verses here that can make you tremble. Make you feel all nervous and get goosebumps all over. Make you shake inside. I mean, those verses just don't leave a lot of squeezing room, do they? My, they just really, they can just disturb you when you read that kind of verse. And so some folks just ignore it, write it off and say, oh, well, you know that all of our sins are forgiven and that's what it's talking about. It don't mention anything in those verses about pardon. It doesn't say every sin's automatically pardoned because of a confession you made years ago. That ain't even contextual. It had no bearing on that passage. He's talking about abiding. He's talking about distinctions. The whole of 1 John is about a distinction between those who abide in Christ and between those that are not abiding in Christ. To those who are true and those that are false. Those who are real genuine believers and those who are spurious converts. He's trying to divide a line. He's trying to give us concrete evidence of how we can know this man is real and true and genuine. I know we're not God. I know we don't know everything. And I know we don't know men's hearts. But I'm telling you all at the same time, this Holy Ghost has got some expressions that are common to all, that are easily discernible, and that are expressions that you and I can see and know. I may not be able to discern every little thing about a man, but I'm telling you, there's some no-brainers on this thing. There's some principles that are right, and I can take them and stand on them. Now let's talk about this for a minute. Let's understand something. We do have a responsibility to interpret Scripture in light of other Scripture. So if we interpret this passage to say that once a man is born again, he has no more capacity to sin, that would be contrary. Because the example in Scripture is that after men were saved, they did sin. Some of them completely turned around and went back. And whereas the dog returned to its vomit and the sow returned to swallowing in the mire. I know that doesn't accord with eternal security theology, but we don't believe in that anyway, so that's all right. We believe what the Word of God says. If the Word of God says you can turn back, you can turn back. That's just the way. Okay. So we know it doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that once we're born again, that the devil is wasting his energy to come and tempt us. And he doesn't need to even make any appeal to us because it's impossible for us to sin. No. As you are saved, it is still possible for you to sin. As God, He can never sin. But as man, sin is a real possibility. And therefore the tempter met Him and tried Him. He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. The possibility was there, but He never gave into it. And therefore never succumbed to the pressure. And He never did sin. But you and I have already sinned. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God and needed salvation. So we're not on that level. We need forgiveness. We need pardon. But once that seed is in you, once the Holy Ghost, there's a change of nature. Once you're attached to that vine, you are not the same person. You're not motivated by the same motive. You're not driven with the same drive. You are a different creature altogether.
That's
right. Amen. Oh, help me, Lord. Now, so what do we talk about here? The idea of the verb and its conjugation, and its form, he that sinneth. We'll state it, then I want to try to bring in how it works. It is the idea that You are not a person. Whoever is born of God consistently living with that principle and according to the seed that's in him. My daughters, they can deny it if they want to. But the fact is that they are from my seed.
Yes.
And my personality, whether they like it or not, they are forever tinged and tainted by it. They've got a Woods for a daddy. That's just it. I'm telling you, the older they get, they're going to find themselves being more like me every day. They're going to find themselves one of these days, they're going to take a snapshot, and Abby's going to look over at Sarah and say, "That was so much daddy. That's how daddy used to do it. Oh, I didn't realize I was doing that. I wasn't even conscious of that. I don't care if it's in your genes, bud. It's there. It's my seed. There's a part of nature. And I'm telling you, when you become partakers of the divine nature, this isn't just your attempt to do right. There's something real in you. All glory to God. There's a power. There's a presence. There's a change of nature in your being. And that nature cannot have a passion to violate the law of God. A man that's born of God does not thirst to transgress the law of God. He does not hunger to sin against God. And he does not purposely choose to do things that he knows are contrary to God's will and to God's nature. Oh, hallelujah. So it's that aspect. There is no purposeful desire to transgress God's law. Secondly, there is no habitual lifestyle of sin. A man that is living a lifestyle practicing known immorality, visible, known, sinful lifestyle, is a sinner. I don't care what his confession is. I don't care what church he's been baptized in. I don't care what church he's a member of. I don't care what he said years ago in his lifestyle. I don't care whether he claims he was filled, is filled, or will be filled. If he's living in habitual sin every day, he is willfully, purposefully, contrary, living contrary to the law of God. He's in violation of his conscience. He's in violation of the law and the very variable truths of God's word. That man is not a saint. No matter what his claim is, he isn't abiding in the vine. God's not there. The nature has never been transformed. He has never been attached. There's no sap. There's no life. Because the Spirit in us is a Holy Spirit and has no passion for sin. It's also, but not on the other side of that. It's not a verse for us to get puffed up about and say, "Praise God, I don't sin." Well, you have that attitude, and folks are going to nail you to your hide to the wall right away. Say, "Well, your biggest sin's pride." No, that's not what it is. Ain't nothing I can go around. Notice, my continual fruit bearing is dependent upon my abiding. I've got to abide. But in order to abide, I got to come out of the sin life and get in the righteous life. In order to abide, I've got to yield myself, my instruments, my members, as instruments of righteousness and not as instruments of sin. I got to present my body a living sacrifice. If I don't present my body to worship God, if I don't present my body to do good deeds, if I don't present my body to as an obedience, a vessel, an instrument for the Lord, I'm not abiding. And if I don't abide, I'm going to lose. I'm going to be cast forth as a branch. I'm going to wither. And I'm going to live a life of sin. And I'll be lost forever. Help me, Lord. Now, we understand that for whatever ignorance, weariness, Lack of watchfulness. Maybe the enemy overwhelmed us. Sometimes our circumstances can be overwhelming. And in that moment of being overwhelmed, our faith falters. We haven't been vigilant and watchful. Our prayer life has been a little slack. And as a result of that, we fall into the tempter's hands. And he snares us. But, something happens. Something happens. We have just violated our own nature. We have violated the one who lives in us, and we have grieved the Spirit of God. And you will not grieve him and him remain silent. You will not hurt him and him be like a little lamb. That lion will raise up, oh glory. That jealous God will raise up inside of you. And I'm telling you, you will feel that sense of the Spirit and say, wait a minute here. This is inconsistent with the nature. This is contrary to the vine. This is contrary to the Spirit. And you are true. And if you want to remain, and if you want to abide, the knees bend and the hands fly up and the mouth flies open and the tears begin to flow and the heart begins to confess and the mind begins to say, I'm sorry. And the heart says, I'm sorry. God, please forgive me and help me to fortify myself that I never go there again. That's what I'm talking about. There's something real. But if you can let it go on, if you can pass it off, if you can defend it, if you can justify it, you ain't in that vine. You ain't abiding. You got a different name. There's something wrong somewhere. Glory to God. You can't abide and sin and get by. Not known sin. Now you hear me something. There are character flaws in each of us that we have not yet come to the realization of. Someone else may even see them in us. But to us, we're yet unaware of them. But the more you abide, the pruner will prune. And your character flaws will be pruned and will be seen and will be put subject to that sap flow. Glory to God. I don't know if I'm making sense to you, but I'm trying to get to you somewhere this afternoon. There is something in us. It's not something, it's someone. It's real. He's real. And his presence in me is not something to dream. It's not something I conjure up. It's not something I can build up. It's not something I can pump up. I hear him, Brother John. He talks to me. And if I purposely and willfully cheat against you, he's going to nail my hide to the wall. I'm telling you, I can't even go there. The thought of it would scare me to death. It doesn't even enter into my mind to do it. I have no intention of ever harming anybody.
That's right. Amen. Come on,
and if we get that belief about one another, it'd help us.
Yes. Amen.
If this man is in the vine and he's abiding, I'm telling you, he cannot purposely want to harm me. He cannot purposely want to kill me or do something bad or speak evil against me.
Amen.
The only way that can happen is if he is a false Christian and he's not abiding in the vine. But I'm telling you, if there's been enough evidence that man's abiding and is in here seeking God and there's been evidence of the love, I'd assume he's abiding. I'd love him as one that's abiding. And if he gives that evidence in his life, then let it be. And if he does do something that can be taken, that he had a bad motive, I'm going to cast that off. Can't be. No, he just must have done it in ignorance. It must have been something he didn't understand. And I can go and fix it. I can either write it off because it's no big deal. We're in the same vine. The Holy Ghost will help him. The Holy Ghost will help me. And we're going to grow and move on in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You see, this is the difference. I'm out there and I'm seeing people and they're telling me they're Christian and they do this. And I'm telling you, they don't have that spirit.
Come on.
Man, they can go out there and they can flirt. They can do with that world. They can go out there and play their games. They can live their lifestyle. They can flirt. They can dress themselves in modesty, just like prostitutes, and walk around and parade that mess and call it Jesus. And then they can go out there and have manifest that same old worldly spirit, have that same old bitter, angry, hateful look about them, and then come in and praise God. I'm telling you, no way! No way!
No. No.
There's something wrong somewhere.
Right,
the Holy Ghost don't want that junk.
Right.
And then they tell me, and you look. Phew. I might get in trouble here. I tell you, the Christianity has become a religious melee.
Right.
It's just, there's, it's a game. There's, people don't know God.
Right, yeah, true.
I'm telling you, someone can tell a little touching testimony and cause a tear, and they think all heaven's come down. And they're as far from God as those who have died and gone to hell are. This is far off. They don't recognize Him. Because to them, God's a little touch of emotion. To them, God's a little touch of their feelings. To them, God's just someone you got to try to please and do right. No, it's not. To me, God's a living being, infinite being who dwells in me. Glory to God. And I'm not just telling you that I'm some kind of passive dwelling place for Him, that I just happen to be a building that He rents. He ain't a renter. He owns it. Glory to God. He owns this building. And I'm telling you, if something this building doesn't do right, He lets me know. Hey, I'm here. I'm still the boss. I'm still the leader. And you're not in charge of this life. And if you don't have that, you aren't abiding.
Right.
That's it.
No, sir.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
The only reason you don't do wrong is because you're afraid of what others think. You are lost. Brother John, when I get up in the morning, I expect to live in victory all day long.
Amen.
I don't expect to fall. I don't expect to sin.
Right.
I don't hunger for sin.
Right.
I don't thirst for sin. And all the things in my... I may not know what you know. But all the things that God has revealed to me that are contrary to His nature, I don't get up wanting to go against Him. I don't get up expecting to go against Him. I don't expect to end my day with the Lord forgive me for all the bad things I did today. I expect to end my day. Thank you, God, for keeping me from evil. Thank you, God, for protecting me through this day. Thank you, God, for answering my prayer. Thank you, God, for walking with me in the way of righteousness and holiness. Why? Because He is with me. Everywhere I go, the Lord is always with me. No, I'm being repetitive, but I'm trying to tell you, this is not science. This is reality. It's not a game. There is a real presence in our life, a real spirit, and it does do some automatic things.
Right.
Amen.
I got to shut it down. Now, you ready? 1 John 3:24, He that keeps His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in Him. And hereby know we that He abides in us by the Spirit which is given to us. Keeps His commandments. I've said this 100 times, but this make this 101st if you're counting my button. But whatever it is. Keep is more than obey. Keep is treasure. Cherish. Love. Now, you obviously, if you love it, you're going to obey it. Now, you hear me what I'm about to say. There's some folks that's got more respect over their dead grandma than they do God. I'm telling you. They might have something. They can be the rottenest sinner in the world. But there'll be something, I'll never do that because grandma said not to do it. Now, you know why? Because they treasure the love of their grandma. Even though she's dead, rotten in the grave, don't even know what and care what they're doing. I'm telling you right now, they treasure. But that's where it's got to be with us and God. I treasure that. I'm not just obeying this out of duty. I'm not just doing this out of habit. I'm telling you, I treasure that command. It's a precious gift to me. The very fact that God let me know, thou shalt not, is a precious thing. Glory to the Lamb of God. The fact that I have the commandments and I know how to order my life. Those are something to be held on to as a precious this gift from God. If God has told us and talked to us, any word of God is a treasure trove that should never be released or let go.
That's right. Amen.
Whoever keeps my commandments dwells in him and he in him. Hereby we know he abides in us by the Spirit he's given to us. 1 John 4:12. No man has seen God at any time. So that keeping the commandments, I'll say to this. You hear me? I don't care. You're a philosopher, theologian. I don't care. But if the real Spirit of God is in you, if the real seed, you've been born of the real seed of God's Word, then there must be manifest a particular attitude towards this book. If your attitude towards this book is one of argument, if it's one of debate, if it's one of doubt, if it's one of take it or leave it, if it's one of a buffet style, choose what you will, you ain't got the Holy Ghost. You ain't been born again. And you ain't living for God. I'm telling you, who has my commandments and keeps them, that's the one that's abiding. That's the one that's in the vine. That's the one that's dwelling. That means that this book is a treasure trove. They count every word of it as sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. Every word of it is to be desired above gold. Much gold, glory to God. It's words to be desired to make one wise unto salvation. It is a treasure trove. It's not something to be tossed aside lightly or manipulated for you to agree with your culture.
Amen.
Can you hold on for a few more? I close. 1 John 4:12. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, what's God do? Dwells in us and His love is perfected in us. Verse 16, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God. That's the same word as abide. Dwelleth in God, and he, or and God in him. That's the same thing he said in John 15. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. He that abide in me, and I abide in him. It's the same language. The man that dwells in God, God dwells in him. He loves the brothers.
Right.
I'm telling you right now, if I can purposely push this man away, have no concern, if I can see a need in his life that I can help him, and I do nothing towards it, I'm not abiding.
Right.
I thank God for the love manifested in this church. We feel when others hurt. We pull together our finances to help our brothers when they're in need. Now I'm going to put it to you this way. That is natural. It's not mechanical. It's natural. It's not robotic. It's not my responsibility. It's nature. Woo! Glory to the Lamb of God. It's nature. That's what I'm trying to get across to you. There's a nature in us. There's a spirit in us. And Brother Cuddles, you've got the Holy Ghost and I got the Holy Ghost. I can't help but love you. I said I can't help but love you. And if I fail to do it, I'm going against nature. I'm going against the prick. I'm cutting against God. I'm rejecting the Lord that saved me. I'm going to be turned out. I'm telling you, somewhere there's a heart that's got to be there by nature. You ain't got to pump it up. You ain't got to dream it up. You ain't got to build it up. It's already there when you're born again by the power of God Almighty. Glory to God. Well, I don't know if Brother Woods will always love me or be faithful to me. What in the world are you doing thinking like that?
Come on.
Good question, brother.
Come on, bro.
Where'd that thought come from?
Yeah, where'd that
come? Didn't come from 1 John. Didn't come from your nature. No, sir. Came from hell. That's where it came from. We just recognize it. We just get filled more with God. If we just get more of that love in us, let it ooze out of us. I'm telling you, when you breathe, it ought to come out of us. When we bend, it ought to squeeze out of us. And so everywhere we go, we're not robotic. We're not reactionary. reactionary. We are natural saints born in the kingdom, and the love of God burns in us. Hallelujah. Nobody makes me come to church. I ain't coming because it's just my duty. Ain't nobody makes me get in that pulpit. Nobody forced me to tell you what I'm telling you this afternoon. I don't have to get up every day and say, oh, well, I've got to go preach. I'm telling you, oh, well, I got to study. Oh, well, I got to pray. I'm telling you from the moment these eyes open, brother, that mind is already put in gear. And the reality of the Spirit's presence is already with me. And by the time my feet hit the floor, I'm done gearing up to pray and hit my knees. And before the sun ever rises, I've done talked to God and put my petition out. Nobody made me. This church never made a rule that made me get up and do it. No, there's a drive. There's a motive. There's a Holy Ghost that lives. Oh, glory to the Lamb of God. I'm talking about abiding in the vine. It's natural to do it when you got the real presence of God in your life. Sin is unnatural for a Christian. Stand to your feet. You've been gracious. Glory to the Lamb of God. I know I got responsibilities. My main one is abide. That's it. Just stay right there. So I don't wake up on Monday with an attitude toward Jesus and say, I ain't praying this morning. No more abide. You understand everything's going on, Brother Woods? No. You know what's going to happen tomorrow? No. But you know what you're going to do in the morning? Yes. If it's a normal morning. Me and the Lord's going to talk together.
That's right.
And Brother Cottle, if I miss that meeting with him in the morning, he won't send me to hell over it. And he won't beat me up and tell me that you ain't living right and you missed out on prayer time this morning and you didn't meet the quota and I ain't going to do nothing for you today. No, sir. Brother, there's sometimes the time my eyeballs opened up, the phone done rang and I had to go out the door and say, dear God, I missed you this morning. Yeah. But I know you're with me. And I'm so glad I live my faith and not my works. I'm telling you, that heart pull. God won't have to beat me, John. Because nature is going to pull me back there tomorrow morning. Oh, Rabashiko, Rabahata, Rabahashita,
Rabahata.
Where's the nature? Where's the nature's what I want to see? Brother, it is visible in certain areas and it's undeniable if it's real and it's there and God's in you. There will be a specific manifestation. Fruit will be born.
Amen, bro.
And you, the only part you will have to do with it is the fact that you abided.
Yes, sir.
Nothing else. You didn't produce it. You didn't make it. Without Jesus, you can do nothing. I don't know if I got it across or not, but I sure tried. And I'm telling you, there's a pile of folks in this world, and I look at even some close around me, and I tell them, God ain't in that mess. And they say, well, they did this and they did that. I don't care what they did. God ain't in that mess. Why? Because the Spirit is not there. And I ain't talking about movement. Sometimes I've seen a lot of movement, but still no Spirit. I've seen a lot of emotion, but still no Spirit. Glory to God. I've said it enough. Hallelujah. Why don't you lift your hand and thank Him? How many know you're abiding? Glory to God. Oh God. Let us abide in the vine. Abide in the vine, for the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except ye abide in me. Abide.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Whoa, glory. So if someone comes, Brother Woods, someone said, Brother John said some bad things about you. Really? Well, I happen to believe John abides, and I'm abiding. Well, if he really did, that spirit anymore touch him. But sir, I believe you've been misinformed. And it doesn't matter to me. You better run and find John. I ain't doing it. I ain't wasting my time over such a thing. I don't need to.
Thank you, Jesus.
No, sir.
Thank you.
I ain't doing it. I got more important things to do.
Right.
And when I get to church, I'm going to hug John. Tell him how much I love him. Yes, sirree. Why? Because there's a nature that I refuse to deny in me. It's unnatural to sin. It's natural to do right.
That's right. Amen.
When you're a saint of God. You ain't excited, I am. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. This is not by my efforts. It's by His Spirit. Abide. 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 Everybody say it. Come on. Abide. Abide. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's close together in prayer. Let's remember our brother Doug. And let's remember and give God thanks for the miracle. You know what Sister Angela told me this afternoon? Go figure. Said Doug's neutrophil was up to 1,600. This thing, he's not neutrophilic. Now, I don't know if it changed in the last 30 minutes, an hour and a half or whatever. I don't know, but that's just contrary to what those doctors call natural. But there is a supernatural glory to God that can change the natural. And I once had a bad nature, but the supernatural changed my nature. And now I got a different nature. Glory to God. And that nature says, let's pray. Glory, Father, in the name of Jesus. Right now we come to you. We thank you, God, and we praise you. We pray, God, for our brother Doug. God, that you will be with him. God, in these next few days, I know you're going to keep him. I know you're going to help him. And I know you're going to sustain him. And I want you to lift him up. I want you to strengthen him. I want you to give him your power. I want you to give him your anointing. I want you to direct him. Lord, I want you to God. Let the faith of God to swell up in him. And Lord, we're looking for a testimony to be given to those doctors of the glory and the might of God. It's your name that's on the line. And we're trusting you to vindicate your name. Vindicate your name. Vindicate your name. Vindicate your name, oh God. And help this church this afternoon. I've tried. God, I know you've helped me. You're burning in my heart. And I pray that this church will get that sense of abiding. That sense of abiding. Lord, because if we abide, we will bear fruit. Hallelujah. If we abide, we will bear fruit. Glory to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Lord, do this, I pray, in our hearts and in our lives here this afternoon. God, grip this church and strengthen her and take her deeper in your word. Oh, Lord, go ahead and prune us. You're the pruner, you're the purger, and your word will do it every time. And I thank you for it, God.
Hallelujah.
And bring, Lord, this church to such confidence in you, such security, such establishment, such firmness, such faith in you, that, Lord, we will not be shaken no matter what people say, no matter what people think about us, no matter what that world may say about us, that our faith will remain firm in you, that we are in the vine. We abide, and you abide in us. Hallelujah.